This is the Kestrel Country Podcast, where we discuss the people, places, and events all around Kestrel Country. Hello and welcome to the Kestrel Country Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Church, joined this week with Jed Whitling, Whitling Realtors here at Kestrel.
It's good to be here.
Hey, Jed.
Almost 4th of July.
I know. 4th of July weekend, I think, kind of starts today.
Yeah, that's right.
Today's the first. You know what else it is, which is kind of funny to non-history nerds? Okay. Today is the first day of the Battle of Gettysburg.
Really?
So one of the things that we that I'm trying to start implementing at my house is that we're going to watch the first day of the movie today, second day of the movie tomorrow, third day, the third, and then it's 4th of July.
Yeah, that works out good.
It's kind of fun.
All right.
So yeah, it's also summer, obviously.
Yep.
And it's kind of the dead season for hunting.
Yeah.
So it's a weird time maybe to do a podcast about hunting, but you came in all excited this week talking about the tag you drew, and it made me think, you know, it'd be fun to talk about, you know, hunting planning, you know, pretty soon is probably when you want to start scouting. First of all, maybe just talk about what you've got going this fall. You drew a couple tags, and then maybe we can talk about like what that process looks like. I've always been a lazy hunter here in Idaho, so I've never done much of the putting in for special tag thing.
Yeah, and it took me a long time. It took years before I started. I think probably same. I'd say the same thing. Lazy, or you just didn't understand how it worked, or you know, wasn't motivated enough. So it's been a slow learning curve. But yeah, good year this year. My wife Sophie drew a moose tag.
That's
for
awesome.
Our local unit here. So I'm probably more excited about that tag than my tag.
So is it a bull tag?
Yeah, so it's a bull tag. So Idaho's once in a lifetime tag. So essentially, if she shoots a bull, she's done. Okay. Moose hunting in Idaho. If she doesn't get one, she can keep putting it. So that and that process for those, they call them the trophy species in Idaho, which is bighorn sheep, moose, and mountain goat. Those three, the draw period's earlier. I believe it's April 1st through April 30th. So you have a month to put in, and you can go to Tri-State, Walmart, wherever, you know, get a pamphlet, look through the different hunts, different units. Then the longer I'm in it, the more research I do. You know, you can go on the Idaho Fishing Game website and look at draw results, look at hunt statistics, you know, how many people draw, how many people, you know, that percentage, people that put in to draw, and then of those people that draw, you know, how many harvest. How many are shooting 4-point or better bucks? You know, you can get really specific into that stuff. So she put in for that tag. I believe there's 8 tags in the unit. It's like they have last year's data. Last year, I think it was like an 8% chance. So can't complain about that.
So that, but it's not you don't get points, right? Like there's some states where you get points.
Yeah. Love it and hate it. It's a love hate relationship in Idaho. There's no point system. So, you could get the most coveted deer tag in Idaho your first year putting in, and you have the same chance your 15th year putting in, not getting it.
Interesting. So how long did Sophie put in for that?
As the first year.
The first year?
The first year, yeah.
She's lucky.
Yeah, yeah. If you don't get it your first year, I don't know. I feel like the odds go down significantly.
That's fine.
But yeah, so she got that tag. So that's, and it's a great, great season. It's August 31st through, I believe, like November 25th.
Oh, wow.
So really long rifle season.
When do they, so it's rifle that whole time.
Yep.
When do they, like, when are they rutting, or when's a good time to?
Yeah. You know, that's a good question. The moose, I'm not super dialed in on, but I've heard guys say the opener at the end of August, you'll see rut activity all the way through September. I don't know when the peak of it is, but we'll probably get out. I'll probably get out mid-August.
Okay.
And see, you know, scout and see where bulls are at. Just because there's access all over the unit.
That's
so you know
police,
other guys are getting out there. Yeah.
Police unit.
Yep. Nice. So police unit, a lot of timber ground. It's almost all timber company ground, but you can get access permits from Bennett, UI Experimental Forest, and Potlatch. So there's good, there's a lot of private, but there's good access. And, you know, I've already got a few buddies on private, like, oh, we see them every year, you know, so who knows?
Yeah, there's a lot of,
who knows what'll happen. But,
yeah. And only eight. So you're going to be competing with eight other hunters.
Yeah. I already know of two other people.
Oh, really?
Two other people that have the top tags. Yeah. Yeah. I was out at somebody's house the other day and found out he had a tag. So, no, so that'll be a super fun hunt. And I think scouting, preseason scouting is key for that.
And these are Shiris moose.
Yeah, I believe so. Yep.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. So a cool we'll see. Hunt. Yeah.
And what does that cost to put in for?
Oh, man. It was $6 for the draw.
Oh, really?
You have to have your license.
Yeah.
Then you pay $6 to put in for the draw. And then with those super, with, or not the super, with those trophy species tags, I believe they make you pay up front for the actual tag, which I think was like a couple $100.
Okay, but then if you don't,
and if you don't draw, they reimburse you. Yeah. She did draw, so they kept it. I think total she was like a couple $100. Don't quote me on that, but it's not a lot.
Yeah.
You know, for residents. That's cool. Non-residents, you know, your license fee goes way up, your tag fee, everything like that.
Yeah. Well, it's one of the huge benefits of being here in Idaho, right? Is the value of that and the ability to have access to those species.
Yeah, Idaho's great for access. You know, hunting access. They're hunting access state, so there's great opportunity there. So she drew that. Like I said, the draws are early. It's the month of April. And then just for your big game species, so antelope, elk, deer, those draws are later. I think it's May 1st through like June 5th.
Okay.
I think June 5th is the cutoff day. I always forget the start day, but I know the cutoff day is June 5th. So you got to put in by June 5th.
That's my birthday.
Is it really?
It should be easy to remember.
Yeah. So by June 5th, you got to put in. And both trophy species in the big game, typically like 3 weeks later, the results come out. So we just found out elk and deer results. I didn't draw the deer tag I put in for. I put in for, it was like a 4 or 5% chance draw down in southern Idaho. Good tag. Didn't get that, but I got the elk tag I've been putting in for 4 years. So I'm stoked.
Yeah. Can you get both a deer and an elk tag?
Yeah.
You can draw multiple.
Yeah. One of each species.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can draw. You can't put in for those trophy species though and big game species. So you got to pick.
Oh.
So you either got to put in for
elk. So you're not putting in for moose right now.
No. I'm waiting. You know, I want to shoot a big bull and a big buck first, right? Yeah. So you can either put in for elk, deer, and antelope, or you can put in for bighorn sheep or goat or moose. You know, you can't put in for bighorn sheep and moose. You just got to pick one of those. But elk, deer, and antelope, you can put in for all three.
Okay.
And then they have turkey. You know, we don't have as many. Since everything's almost general season in our local units, I haven't put in for stuff like this. But they have a bear-controlled hunt application period and draw period. And same thing with turkey. Mm-hmm. So I think other parts of the state where there's units that they do manage.
Yeah.
Tags. You can put in for those as well.
So like those deer tags and stuff that you're putting in for, are you're doing a research on the website looking at what kind of size they have, how many tags are getting out, what
And you can
and that's the whole point, right? Is that you're getting access to a place where there's gonna be hopefully more trophy level animals.
Exactly. And you can spend hours wandering through Eastman's journal. Blogs and, seeing what guys post on there and seeing, if it's 5 years old, maybe it means nothing, you can pick up as much as that as you want. But I think something that's really helpful, like the elk tag I drew this year is I've archery hunted that unit before.
Now. Oh, okay. And is that general?
Yeah. And so, that's where I was going is, some of these units guys have spent time in, maybe the elk season's general, but mule deer's a hard to draw controlled unit tag. Those guys, a lot of those guys are going to be putting in for that mule deer tag because they know the unit. They're seeing big bucks every year going, man, I wish I had that tag. So I do recommend that, if you've got a unit, if you want to start putting in for controlled hunts, if you know a unit because you've hunted different species there, you go camping there or something, I'd start there. If you know there's good game in that area, because I missed a bull twice with my bow. And
yeah, I think we talked about that in the podcast. That's
fun. And there's really big bulls in there. So I drew a late season muzzleload tag. It's a general season for archery in the unit. And then muzzleload, they have a controlled hunt for it. It's later on, the bulls are kind of bachelored up. And there's just a lot more bulls in the area from winter. They're heading down to their winter range.
Yeah.
So yeah, I drew that tag. And the other thing that I'm starting to learn more is the, you can put in as a group for these controlled tags. And so when to put in as a group and when not to is kind of
the Does it balance. Decrease your odds if you put in as a group?
No. So if you put in as a group, so this year I put in with a group of three, a buddy and my dad. We all put in for it. And I've been putting in on my own the last 3 years.
Okay.
So we put in all together, but they give out a decent number of tags. I forget the exact amount, but I think they give out like 80 tags, 50 or 80 tags, enough tags. And if any one of us in our group gets drawn, we all get it.
Oh.
Unless there's only two tags left and one of our name gets drawn and there's three of us.
So it could decrease your odds, but not but not generally.
No, so it should really improve your odds. You know, if you've got a you can only do up to a group of four, I believe, is the largest you can do. But if there's a unit that they're giving out a good number of tags, you know, 100 tags, and it's a 25% draw, if you put in with four people, statistically, you have a 100% chance probably of getting it, you know, all four of you. So that's something I'm trying to figure out. And it doesn't, it can bite you in the butt. You know, you don't want to do, you don't want to put in as a group hunt if there's only eight tags in a unit.
Right.
Because you have a better chance of being on your own and, you know, getting that, getting it there. So that's kind of the new game I've started to play.
That's fun.
Yeah.
So when that's a later season?
Yeah, that's in November. So it'll be a November muzzleload hunt. So I need to, I don't know. I'm trying to make the excuse that I need a new muzzleloader. I haven't talked to the wife
about it. Yeah, there you go.
I haven't talked to the wife about it.
That's always the best.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, excuse for a new gun.
Yeah.
What, so will you, when you're going, like I've never really hunted, you know, further away than locally, well, at least like panhandle and stuff.
Yeah.
So will you get away to scout or you do you just kind of like do the online scouting thing and say like, you know what, we're just going to figure it out when we get here?
Yeah. I'll try to go probably a few days before the season starts.
Okay.
And I think that's really important on a lot of these units like that one where it's the bulls have started to come down. They're more in the open. You know, even just a day before the opener, I mean, let's say it takes you 8 hours to find where a nice bull's at. Well, you just did it before the opening day and you're on him first thing opening morning, instead of opening morning, gunshots ringing out, you know, across the mountain range and you're wandering around trying to find where they're at.
Yeah,
doing a day of scouting on opening day. So that's the same thing with the moose hunt. You know, I'll probably get out a couple weeks before and start figuring out where stuff's at. Just because it was with e-scouting nowadays, with the amount of road access and just people, I don't know, people have too much time on their hands. You know, people are going out there and hiking. People know that, you know, people know the units like never before, the geography. I think that extra, if you can get out a week before, you're a mile ahead. Yeah. You know, you have a really good chance of getting in on something. Your best chance is the first, you know, nothing's been hunted typically first day of the season. It's a great chance to try to get in on something.
Yeah. What's that? What's that around here? Obviously things are, it's fairly brushy, you know, fairly dense. So you're probably not looking at like a real long shot on a moose.
No.
What's that look like for Sophie preparing for something like that?
You know, we need to start getting her out and shoot. I'm just going to have her start with just a 243. I know it's a small round, but like up in Alaska, a lot of guys are using that from what I've read. So, you know, and we'll just see. I don't know if I'll, you know, she'll end up shooting with like a 30-06 or my 7mm. But yeah, we'll just get out, practice shooting. That's the nice thing about moose hunting is there's some spots where it could be a further shot in a clear cut, but you know, on a moose,
a lot of times they're pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you want to be steady. And typically those moose aren't, they're not running around like a cougar, you know, white tail buck or something.
They're not real jumpy.
They're not real shifty.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, typically they're out there. So I think, and given that again, it's just worth getting out early. Cause you know, if there's a big bull hanging out somewhere and somebody's got a tag, if you know where he's at first, you know, you got a good chance of, and that's the other thing with getting out early is you just don't know, you know, how big of a moose is there going to be,
right?
You know, cause what if you don't go till opening day and you go out and there's a, you know, she's going to be happy shooting a, you know, it's more about the hunt, you know, if she ends up with a small bull, that's fine. You know, we want to give it a good shot, but you know, if you see that medium or small bull opening day, it's like, do we shoot it? Well, I don't know. There could be a bigger one.
Yeah.
Well, if you've been out for 2 weeks before and you're like, this is the biggest one we've seen, you know,
right,
we've been beating the bush, then you know, you can shoot it and be stoked, you know, everybody's happy. You know, you got a good animal for the unit. Whereas if you don't know, you just don't know, you know, you'll never know.
So. Yeah. Yeah. It definitely takes that time. It's good to put in that time. Are there pretty big bulls though in this? Are there some trophy sized bulls that come out of this unit?
It depends on who you talk to. Statistically, no. Okay. On the, it's, people say it's shot out. You know, compared to like some of the panhandle units that have more ground, more remote. You know, that's, I know there's bigger bulls up there, but
are the draw odds better up? I mean, worse up there too?
No, they're not really that much worse. They have a few different hunts, like they have like an October hunt and a November hunt, I believe, that are 2 weeks each instead of this really long, like 2.5 month season. And the draw odds are pretty similar. I think they're in like the 6 to 8% range. Yeah. But with the kids, we just wanted to go somewhere.
Oh, close. It makes so much sense to be able to just run up there.
No, I saw a couple, two nice bulls up there together 2 years ago.
Okay. Yeah, so we've seen mostly little ones, but I saw a really big one.
Did you?
Well, I mean, I don't know that much about them, but it looked to me like it was a big bull running around out by my house.
Okay.
I think it was 2 years ago, just out in the farm field, you know, big, nice bull. And normally it's like we see the cows or we see little guys.
Little 3 points.
But then this was like moving through the fields, like, whoa, that's a big bull, you know, which is cool. Yeah. How much meat? I mean, obviously right now that doesn't hurt either. You got, you know, when beef is through the roof, how much meat do you get off of one of those?
We'll find out. You know, I think it a lot depends on, I think a mature bull compared to, a younger bull is a big difference. But it should be enough for the winter, I can tell you that.
Yeah. Especially if you get that
the office.
Especially you get that bull down south too.
And, Yeah, no, especially with meat prices and availability, it's going to be, I think, I don't know. I keep seeing articles that hunting's declining. I don't know if you've seen those over in the U.S. You know, just, I think a lot of the articles are from back east. They're worried about the deer populations. You know, some of those areas that just have a lot of whitetail. But I'm excited.
Yeah. We're definitely seeing a lot fewer whitetail this year than we normally do after that EHD last year.
Yeah.
But we're still seeing them. We're seeing them running around out by the house. Yeah. Like you said, a lot fewer, but still seeing them around. So I'm sure that population will bounce back pretty fast. And that'll be good.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. It sounds like some areas got hit real hard and other areas not as bad. So I think it's just a matter of finding out the areas that didn't get hit as hard. And that should be fun too.
Any other summer activities? Or is it mostly just kind of getting ready, working hard, getting ready for for fall? Just bass fishing or anything?
Yeah, no, you know, it's been weeks, but we went out to, where have I been? I went down on the snake earlier this spring, caught a couple decent smallies. I went down on Door Shack once, caught a few decent smallies. I took the girls out to Spring Valley, you know, caught some bluegill and some trout. But no, I need to get up to Coeur d'Alene and go pike and bass fishing typically around July 4th. Go up there. But other than that, it's just fill up the bank account and make sure everything's good at the house.
Get ready for fall.
Yeah, get ready for fall. Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. Are you getting out at all? You got any goals?
I definitely need to get out fly fishing this summer. Yeah. I mean, that's for sure. Yep. I just went and picked up some gear down at North 40 yesterday. Yeah, I was down there for a show and had to go to North 40.
Nice.
I don't have any definite hunting plans yet this fall. Want to get ASA deer is a main goal.
Okay.
That's the biggest goal. Yeah. And then I need to get my bow out, start shooting my bow, and kind of decide whether I'm going to head up to the panhandle or bow hunt around here. But itching to get back out.
Nice.
So.
Nice.
Well, thanks, Jay. Appreciate you coming on. We're excited to hear about it. We'll have to do a follow-up as we get closer. And then, you know, hopefully we'll, like, do a podcast in the woods, you know, with a dead moose. And,
for sure. Well, you know, your house is kind of the access point. So I'll probably be knocking on your door at, like, 10 one night this September. Hey, like, Mike, that's too exciting. Drove the four-wheeler off the road. No, it'll be good. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Jay.
Happy 4th of July, everybody.
Yeah, happy 4th of July.
Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. Like, share, subscribe. We'll see you next week.